Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, relax, and listen as we have a conversation about the mundane. One thing we can promise is that our conversation will be hopefully less than fascinating so that you can feel free to drift off. Thank you for joining us. We hope you will listen and sleep. I'm your host, Marco Timpano, and joining me is a fellow podcaster, a creator, comedian, and a wonderful host himself, David Shore. Welcome to the Insomnia Project.
Thank you for having me, Marco. I'm very excited to be here. I don't want to sound too excited because I want people to fall asleep.
It's fine if you're excited off the top.
Yeah.
Because it usually takes a few beats before people start to drift off.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to have you because I've watched you perform over the years, and I think you're brilliant.
That's very kind.
But also, you look like you could be related to me. And every time I see you, I think, wow, I feel this kinship as if you're a relative of mine because you look so much like the Timpano side of my family. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry if you take offense to that. But
no, I'm not insulting. No, I don't remember you saying. I mean, I haven't seen you in a long time.
Sure.
I was in the UK for 7 years, mm-hmm. and I know I've seen you since coming back, but we bumped into each other a few weeks ago at that pod camp. Yeah, because I have a lot of sleep problems. But I don't remember before moving to the UK if you had said to me, you know, you look like you could be in my family. So I don't know why, you know.
It's an odd thing to tell people. You know, you look like you could be related to me.
Well, it's something you don't hear a lot.
Sure.
I think. But I didn't find it odd when you said it to me today. And certainly, I think I mentioned, I'm Jewish. Mm-hmm. The older I get, I become more ish and less Jew.
Okay.
And I've certainly had lots of Italians think that I'm Italian.
Right.
Because I don't – there are certain people when I see them, it's like, I know you're Jewish.
Right.
You know, and I don't particularly look Jewish, and I don't particularly have – my first name, like David, is a Jewish name, but my last name, Shore, could be anything.
Sure.
If I was David Goldberg, you would know from my name that I'm probably Jewish.
Right.
But there could be, you know – it's funny, when I went to Western for my first degree in university.
That's a university in London, Ontario, for our international listeners.
Yes, so University of Western Ontario. And I remember being pretty far away from the campus one day, and I stopped at a sub place to get lunch. And it was an Italian guy.
Okay.
And he said to me, you know, he was from Italy. He's like, oh, so you're Italian. And I said, no, I'm Jewish. And he puts his fingers together. He goes, Italians and Jews are like a dis.
Right.
And I just thought, that's really nice. And there's a lot of truth in that, and there's a lot of truth in it. I think it's more of a Mediterranean thing, Mediterranean look. Because certainly if you go to Israel, you'll see lots of men and women who look Mediterranean.
Yes. I was just in Israel last year.
Oh, really?
And I certainly found that. And I've mentioned it before in this podcast. Mm-hmm. If you ever have the opportunity to go to Israel, it is such a wonderful, wonderful place to explore if you love history, if you love culture, or if you just love beaches and eating well. Speaking of eating,
yes,
let's talk about cultural food since we started that sort of connection with culture.
Yeah, well, I was up. I try to have lunch with my uncles at least once or a couple times a month, and they meet daily at Kiva's.
Kiva's is arguably one of the better places to get bagels in southern Ontario. I'm going to say bagels because that's what I get there. I'm sure they have other great food.
They're known.
There too.
It's Kiva's Bagels.
Yeah, sure.
You know, they're known for their bagels. And so I was meeting them and I thought, and I was going up to my mother's after. She lives in Thornhill. And I was telling you, I was really craving a Dante's Pizza, which is this legendary pizza place in Thornhill.
Right.
They don't deliver downtown because I looked into it. And I thought, maybe I'll order pizza to bring home. But I didn't because I was really full, and I have to watch what I eat since my Crohn's surgeries.
Sure.
But I thought, this might be interesting to talk about different bagels. And there's always a bagel debate in Toronto. And also, I would love to get, if you have a place downtown, this is the best place for pizza downtown. Or, you know, like I can't really eat pasta that much anymore.
Sure.
But I was thinking, because there is, not just in the Jewish community, but in general, there's a debate over what's the best bagel in the city. And I'm a huge fan of Greif's, which is owned by the Greif's family. I don't know how long they've been making these bagels down on Bathurst Street. But now whenever I go up to my mom's, you know, I get a car share, I make time to stop at the bakery to pick up their bagels. They've also got these pizzas, these little pizzas they make, which are very basic but tasty. And I also get some rugola. And at a lot of places in downtown Toronto, you can buy Greif's bagels.
Right.
And they're fresh, but they cost more.
Sure.
So if I'm heading up there, I'll pick up a dozen.
Right. When talking bagels, what is your preferred topping, if there is a topping on your bagel? So, for example, do you like poppy seed, sesame seed? What is your go-to?
It's a good question. You know, it's either one of those.
Okay.
I like either poppy or sesame. And I've only found out recently, because I would typically get the poppy seed bagel at Kiva's. Mm-hmm. But my uncle got one. It seemed like it had taken a bath in poppy seeds.
Oh.
And apparently you have to ask for the extra poppy seed bagel. It's really covered in it.
That's the one I like. But if the bagel almost looks black because it has that many poppy seeds, I'm on board.
I'm on board with that too.
I'm a big fan of the plain bagel too.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like sometimes you can really tell the quality of the bagel if it's plain. And that tips into pizza for me.
Oh, yeah.
So if I'm in a pizza restaurant, a pizzeria, and they're making their own sort of personal size pizza, so I'm getting a 12-inch, let's say, 8-slice pizza or 6-slice pizza for myself, even a 4-slice if they do it like a quadrants, let's say.
Right.
I'll always get a margarita because you can't mask your inability to make a pizza if you get the most basic. So I can tell if they know what they're doing because a margarita has 3 ingredients.
Right.
And it's all there.
Yeah.
You know right away. You could add a whole bunch of different things, sausage and spice and whatnot and pineapples and different mushrooms and whatnot, 5 mushrooms and some cream on top, and it will mask a lot of mistakes.
Right.
So whenever I go to a place for the first time, I'll always say, I'll have a margarita, and I can tell right away if they know how to do it well.
Now, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Do you have a go-to place in the downtown area or midtown?
It's a great question. So for me, my preferred pizza would be a Neapolitan-style pizza.
Mm-hmm.
So it tends to be a bit chewier, the dough. And I go to a pizzeria for that.
Is that the Neapolitan? Is that where it's quick-fired in a specific type of oven for like 90 seconds? Is that? Or is it more the dough, like you were just saying?
It's a bit of both. So they use this. If it's going to be, how do I say this now? There is a classification for Neapolitan-style pizzas because that's where the pizza was born, was in Naples. And if you want to have that classification, which you'll see in certain restaurants, you need to use flour from Italy, so 00 flour.
Right.
And you need to use San Marzano tomatoes. Mm-hmm. So that's the tomato that's generally used for pizzas. It's a southern Italian tomato. And the products should be from that area.
Right.
So from Naples we're looking at to be classified. For me, that's not that important. I think we have great tomatoes. Mm-hmm. I think our flour that we have here is perfectly acceptable.
Yeah.
But a lot of these places will do that. Mm-hmm. The dough tends to be a bit chewier, almost like a, and I hate to say this, but like a pita.
Yeah, yeah.
It has that kind of feel to me.
It's funny you say that because there's so many different types of pita.
Right.
And I find most of the downtown places, I don't like the falafel because the pita, whereas if I'm up in Thornhill, there's a place called Sababa's.
Yes.
On Steeles, and they have their own, they make their own pita fresh every day, and it's more, a bit more doughy, but it's soft. It's soft and crispy. And their shawarma and falafel as a result is perfect. It reminded me of going to the beach in Israel and getting a falafel.
There you go.
It's the best. Yeah.
So for me, that kind of texture that you just described is my preferred sort of feel. And so my favorite places to go is Terroni.
Okay.
And I know it's a well-known restaurant. I just feel their consistency.
Well-known for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the style that they do. Mm-hmm. Queen Margherita's great.
Okay.
And the margarita was named after Queen Margarita when she visited Naples, so that's where they get their name.
Okay.
And of course, if one hasn't seen margherita pizza, it is tomato, fior di latte or mozzarella cheese, and basil. And those are the colors of the Italian flag, and hence they made it to welcome Queen Margherita when she was coming to Naples.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. So that's where the origin of that. But if I'm having a Roman-style pizza, which tends to have a coarser dough and a almost like a corn, it almost feels like it has a bit of grit in it,
right?
Cornmeal or whatnot. Not that I think it's made with cornmeal; it just has that.
Sometimes the bottom's got a bit of a coating, right?
Yeah. So I feel like, and I could be wrong, that they use cornmeal in the bottom. Mm. I don't have a particular place that I go for that, but there's been a couple restaurants that have done it really well here, and I do like a couple of the little bakeries that that cook it, especially these old school Italian bakeries will do a great job. Yeah. So for
those.
You, bagel, do you prefer the bagels we get here or a Montreal style bagel, which we also can get here?
It's funny. I love Montreal style bagels. Mm-hmm. When you couldn't get them here, they were, if I was ever going to Montreal or a friend was coming, it was like, get me some bagels. Mm. And I love them. And when you first could get them here, when Saint Urbain first opened.
Sure.
I couldn't get enough Montreal-style bagels. And now I still love them. I've got some in my freezer, but it depends what you're having them with.
Oh, I love that.
Because depending what you're having, it's different. I mean, the texture is so different. The density is so different. Like a lot of times I'll make eggs in the morning, like scrambled eggs, and I'll get a Greif's bagel or a Kiva's bagel, and I'll put some cream cheese on.
Sure.
And put the eggs on top, and it's got a nice melt. But with the Montreal bagel, because of the shape—
They tend to be smaller. If you're not familiar with
they're
the
thinner,
they're
yeah.
thinner bagel.
Yeah.
They tend to be a little bit smaller.
Mm-hmm.
The dough tends to be denser.
Yeah.
And there's a sweetness.
There is a sweetness.
I think they
to
use
them.
Honey when they
Possibly.
Make them. Yeah. And there's a bit of a sweetness to them.
Yeah. I know when I used to stay with friends in Montreal after summer camp, like they would have loads of them in the freezer and they would cut them before freezing them so they could just toast them right away.
Okay.
So I thought,
well,
that was really smart. And like that's a thing, butter or margarine are amazing in them. Cream cheese and Lux are great in them.
Sure.
But I find the egg, because of the narrowness and
right.
the big hole, they don't hold that as well. So it depends. Like for me, it's not a great sandwich bagel.
Right.
But if I'm having an open face, I like that.
But then you would be prudent to use a New York style bagel if you're going to have a sandwich because they tend to be enormous or very – they have a lot of surface, I find.
Well, it's funny because I do love – When I go to New York, I love getting bagels there.
Sure.
And you have a great selection of schmears in
yes.
New York. And it's a bit harder to get a good schmear. Like, I like a whitefish salad. Most places are out of it whenever I go. They only make it 1 day a week. I never go that day.
Right.
But in New York, you know, it's such an institution that I think that's why they have more choice in their schmear, which is a Yiddish term for spread. Here, you know, it's funny, my favorite used to be my go-to was the Kiva's Big Twister bagel.
Okay.
Which is a really big bagel, and it's typically got some poppy and some sesame and salt on it. And it's also a good bagel for making a pizza bagel.
Oh, yes.
Which is, here we're getting cross-cultural.
Yes.
We're getting some fusion here. Because that would give you a pretty big pizza bagel.
Sure.
You know. But now, I mean, I was misdiagnosed as being wheat allergy for a number
intolerant
of years.
Intolerant or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, due to my Crohn's. And when I found out, you can just get a test. No one told me you can get a test. So
right.
if you think that wheat or gluten is an issue, just know you can get a test. You can get tested for that. So I had to go on gluten-free bagels, which typically aren't very good because they're always frozen.
Sure.
But I did discover there's a place in Kensington Market, New Bagel, and they make Montreal-style bagels, and they make their own gluten-free, even though I'm back on wheat, which
right.
was like the greatest thing ever. And I think the first thing I had was a Montreal bagel, which was just heaven.
Sure.
And I had the gluten-free bagel at New Bagel, and it's really good. You wouldn't know that it's gluten-free, and it's fresh. That's the thing with gluten-free. A lot of times it's hard to find fresh baked goods or pastas.
Sure.
It's very difficult to find. And I wanted to ask you, have you ever tried – have you heard of the – there's a small chain. I think it's an American chain. They've come to Canada. Have you heard of Pico, their pizza
yes,
place?
Yes, I have actually.
Their gluten-free pizza is amazing. A friend of mine who's had Crohn's for a long time said to me because he – you know, at the time was avoiding wheat and I had to avoid. He said, get their gluten-free pizza. You
sure.
will not know the difference.
Wow.
And that's true. Like they make their own dough And so if you are celiac or if it's just wheat, I highly recommend the Pico.
That's a great tip because, I've had pizzas that are made with cauliflower. They're good for what they are, but at a certain point, they don't feel like pizza to me anymore.
Pizzolios also have, they make their own gluten-free, and theirs is pretty good. A lot of places use the same place, Nate's Bagels, who make all the frozen bagels you get in the city. They make, like if you order a gluten-free bagel, pizza, and it says 12-inch only.
Sure.
It's probably they bought frozen crusts.
Right.
And you know, they're being accommodating. It's okay. But there are a few places that make
so
their own Pico.
With regards to the schmear and the bagels, Lox and Schmear on St. Clair, one of my favorite bagel places.
Yeah.
They have a bagel called the Fancy Fancy. Mm. They smoke their own fish there.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
And it is – what I love about it is it's not skimpy.
Right.
So they pickle their own pickles. And their onions are pickled and brined in shop. Lev Levine is the chef there.
Right.
And they just go out of their way. Mm-hmm. I recommend it so highly.
I'll check it out. Yeah. I've only had like – smoked fish that was smoked in a small like batch like that once when my sister and her husband and I and my ex-wife, we went out to Galliano Island off
in
BC. Oh. Yeah, and my brother-in-law got a bike and went tripping around and he found there was an indigenous family that caught and smoked their own salmon.
Wonderful.
And he bought a big piece of it, and it was the best smoked salmon I've ever had.
I bet.
Like, we just went to town on that thing.
Well, wild-caught, smoked.
Yeah, no, I'm going to have to check out this. What's it called in the Schmear place?
Lox.
Lox and Schmear.
And Schmear.
It's a good name.
Yeah, it's on the north side between Oakwood and Dufferin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know that area.
Yeah. It's wonderful. You have a podcast. I sort of mentioned it off the top.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you heard some rumbling off the top, my vacuum was going off. I have a robotic vacuum that loves to start cleaning when I'm podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And we have fights. The Panel Show with David Shore.
Yes.
If you're looking for a podcast that is both comedic and political and
not just politics. It's
no, fair.
Current events.
Sorry.
Current event.
No, I
mean, no, we do talk a lot. It's mostly politics, but I try and find some things that are a bit more topical as well to talk about.
You have that fake and real portion at the end of the show that I really enjoy as well.
Yeah, we're going to change the name of that just because. So basically the show, just for people who don't know. So I come from an improv background. That's how we know each other.
Yes.
And, you know, I was with the Second City for a long time, and I have my own show called Monkey Toast, the improvised talk show, which is now in its 18th year in Toronto.
Congrats.
Thank you very much. We tried podcasting it, but it was a nightmare to record.
Yet to come is what I'll say.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. That's very kind. That's true. If somebody can come and invest money, we're happy to do it.
Perfect.
But so I use a lot of the cast from the show. Like they're all, almost all of them are Second City Mainstage alumni, you know, and you'd be hard pressed to find better improvisers anywhere in the world than that cast. And I had the idea for the show a number of years ago while watching, I think it was CBC News World, and they had a panel, and they had a comedian as part of the panel, and they weren't funny.
Right.
They were deadly serious. Well, not deadly serious. They were just serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought if I could get a great improviser in character just to commit to the character and talk about politics and current events, I think it'll be funny.
Sure.
So Andrew Coyne was a regular guest on Monkey Toast. He's one of the most well-known journalists and respected journalists in Canada. So he was on board. And at the time, Kim Parley, she's a former student of mine at Second City, and she'd been on Monkey Toast a number of times. She was an anchor at I don't know if they were BNN or BBN, business, it was a business news network.
Okay.
And so we workshopped in front of a live audience, and it really worked. But then I went to the UK for 7 years, and now I'm back. I've restarted the show thinking this will make a good podcast. So every show I have two real journalists and two improvisers in character, and we talk about real world topics and events. And so Andrew Coyne's been on it quite a bit. Robert Benzies, the Queen's Park Bureau Chief, which is the provincial parliament here in Ontario. The last show, the improvisers, Kelly Lorette, who's amazing. She plays this character, your insufferable Aunt Maureen, who's just hilarious.
Yes.
Carrie Griffin, who does Monkey Toast quite a bit, and is another Second City alumni. He and he's been on your podcast.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. He played your high school drug dealer, Noel Hendricks, on a previous episode. Carrie played Jimmy Stewart, and I'm blanking. I blank on names. But
I love how you have these historical people on, or these improvisers playing historical or animated guests and whatnot. And it's just, I just find the perspective on the given topic is so interesting, because you have them sort of weave together with a respected journalist and, say, Jimmy Stewart or Bane from the Batman.
Yes, Bane's very woke is what we've discovered. Yeah, so Jimmy Stewart episode, the other improviser was Liz Johnson, and she played Katharine Hepburn. And her take, because we talked about Scorsese, there was some uproar where Scorsese said some things about the Marvel Universe. And her in character talking about the Marvel Universe, one of the funniest things I've ever heard, because she really knows the Marvel Universe, the real person, Liz Johnson, and then to do it in character. So the show really works. It's a lot of fun. We do it in front of a small live audience. Mm-hmm. And then the real and fake at the end of the show, because I have to research all the topics. Every month I come across something and I'm like, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Right.
And then I find three more things that are the craziest thing we've ever heard. So I read off a headline and I ask the panel, is it real or fake? And then we ask the audience. I need to just change the name of that at the end, the game we play at the end of the show.
The panel show with David Shore is the perfect podcast for your transit experience, I find. You know, when you need something when you're traveling to and fro from destinations.
Definitely.
For me, that podcast is engaging and it's fun. Funny, informative.
Thank you.
And just plain great.
I really appreciate that.
Well, it's a great podcast. It is topical.
Yes.
It is funny. Current events. Definitely something for our listeners who need something not to make them fall asleep.
Thank you.
The panel show with David Shore. Before we go,
yes,
you had mentioned living in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some amazing listeners in the UK
who
often send me notes and whatnot. So what are some things you miss from your time in the UK now that you're back in Canada?
That's an interesting question.
That our listeners can be like, oh, I didn't realize how lucky I was to still have this, and it would be something that would be missed.
You know, it's such a different and beautiful place, the United Kingdom. And depending on where you live, just like in Canada, your experience is very different. So I lived in London, which is like New York is so different than the rest of the country. And in London, what I miss is people moving at a quick pace.
Sure.
Because like, even though I'm not a Londoner, I became a Londoner.
Of course.
When you become a Londoner, you have no patience for people who are slow on the tube or the subway or on the sidewalk. And I get frustrated with people in Toronto because of that. That being said, one of the things I miss, I lived in the countryside for about 18 months. The countryside is gorgeous in the UK, and I miss that. And I miss that you can just walk through the fields. Like, you have right of way.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There's paths that are 1,000 years, 600, 700 years old. And so even though there may be a farm and farmer's land, you'll see like a well-worn path, and they have by law right of passage, and there'll be a gate that, you know, and it'll be set up. There's different trusts that have all these walking paths all over the UK. And you can take, there's all these like mapped out walks, and they typically end or start at a pub.
Right.
So you can have lunch or a pint after.
Yes.
One of the things I don't miss is if you do go for a pub, for a walk, a lot of pubs will not be serving food all day. A lot of restaurants, unless you're in London, like in the countryside, a lot of restaurants are closed. Like, like it's like being in the Middle East in the 70s where people take a siesta for three hours. And I do remember once my ex-wife and I having a difficult time finding a place to eat.
Mm-hmm.
But the countryside, and everywhere you look, there's horses, and the horses will come up to you. And so the countryside there, like it's here, when you drive in the country, everything's fenced off. And if you hop that fence,
You're trespassing.
And if you're in the States, you might get shot.
Right. So the funny thing is, I remember being in the UK, and everything's green and lush.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, they do get a lot of rain, but
it's not as much as people think.
I know. I feel like everyone sort of has this image of that. But when I was there, I had some of the sunniest, most beautiful days in all of Europe.
And did people say to you, oh, it won't last?
They did, but I was like, it's so beautiful. It doesn't, I don't even mind, because even when there's that bit of rain, mm-hmm. fog, and grayness, it makes the city come alive in a different way, I found.
No, for sure.
One thing I do want to say, since we started talking about food, the cheeses in the UK.
Oh, yeah.
Are spectacular.
They are.
And I love a good Stilton.
Oh, yeah. And it's good. The Stilton soup is also excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will say this, and I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of people who are going to roll their eyes, but I've found this, and it could just be my own personal bias, but tea just tastes better when made by a Brit in England. and I've said it once, and I'll say it again, and I'm sure people are going to just roll their eyes, but I just found when I had tea there, it was just a, and I love tea, it was just a different experience.
It's funny, I don't know if I thought, I do remember I have to specify that I don't want milk in it.
Okay.
They'll automatically put milk in it, and to me, I wasn't brought up with milk and tea, so I find it gross.
Do you put lemon in your tea?
Depending on the tea, I might. If there's lemon available. Okay. I put in a lot of sugar, to be honest
okay,
with you.
Okay, so that's how Russians tend to put a lot of sugar, but they also make it very milky, so you wouldn't want a Russian tea either.
No, like it depends on what tea I'm getting. If it's a particularly dark tea that's bitter, like that's the thing. Traditionally, you put milk in it, but
sure.
I don't put milk, so I put in probably extra sugar or honey, depending on what's available.
What's your preferred tea?
Right now, it's funny, I've gotten into Orange Pekoe lately.
Yeah.
I was always an Earl Grey guy for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I would, you know, when I was sick, I'd have to have so many mint teas and herbal teas.
Sure.
But they just don't cut it. But, and I found some President's Choice decaffeinated Orange Pekoe.
Okay.
So I can have tea at night and not have to be an herbal tea.
I see.
Yeah, so right now, yeah, I'm definitely down. It's funny because my box of Earl Grey was staring at me. And I thought, oh, I haven't had you in months and you're feeling sad, aren't you, Earl Grey?
Oh, yeah, there you go. Well, David, thank you so much for being a part of the Insomnia Project today.
Oh, it's really been my pleasure. And like I said, like I told you, I love the podcast.
Thank you.
A lot of sleep problems. It's really helped me. And hopefully you're all asleep by now. And if you're not, please listen to the panel show.
The panel show with David Shore. I definitely recommend it on your listening list.
Thank you.
And reach out and tell David you listened to it because you heard it on the Insomnia Project.
Oh, that would be great.
I'd love for you to get feedback from our listeners.
Thank you. Yeah, and if you're overseas, there's nothing funnier than Canadian politics.
Yes, that's for sure. And if you're visiting Toronto and you want to attend a live show of Monkey Toast, where can they go?
So go to monkeytoast.com. is our website, and there's info about upcoming shows, and also there will be a link to the panel show website, and we do invite audience for tapings. Those tapings are free, but typically the Monkey Toast is once a month. We take the summer off.
Great.
Because anyone in Canada, if you work in the arts in Canada, you know it's hard to get people indoors in the summer. So,
I will have all those listed in our show notes, so you can just click there in case you're like, I'm just about to fall asleep, I'm not writing that down. David, thanks again.
My pleasure.
As always, the Insomnia Project is produced by Drumcast Productions, and this particular podcast episode, as you may have guessed, was recorded in Toronto, Canada. Until the next time.